Phil, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I am excellent, Phil. How long have you been scouting?
Oh, boy. Quite a long time. I retired in 1984, and I coached for a while. I was an assistant coach, goalie coach with L.A., and then with the Red Wings for about 8 years, and been coaching goalies and scouting ever since. I'd say close to 20 years.
Okay, perfect. And I thought you were a goalie scout. Now, I know you you watch a lot of the prospects all the time, Phil, and I don't want to throw you a curveball here by any stretch, but do you happen to still watch and scout any of the AHL or NHL goalies, or do you focus primarily on the prospects?
I have not seen a lot of pro games. I've seen a couple of pro games this year. Excuse me. I was a pro scout for several years until I came to, well, I did it a couple of years with Montreal, but since I came to ISS, I was mostly centered around amateurs.
When you are scouting pro goalies to amateur goalies, what is the biggest difference in your evaluation of those two?
Pro to amateur?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you know, when you're scouting pro, and you're going into the minor leagues, Jason, you're mostly looking at something that's more immediate. You know, can he come up and play right now? What level is he going to play at? Does he have potential to be a number one goalie, or is he just going to be a backup, or is he just going to be a third guy? You know, so you're more specific on what that goalie can do. When you're scouting amateurs, you know, they're 17 and 18 and 19 years old. You're projecting more longer term. You know, you're projecting 5 years down the road.
Yeah, and the only reason I ask that is because the Markstrom Lack situation in Vancouver. But I do want to talk to you about your guys' rankings. And, of course, you know, you guys go very in-depth at ISS. You have all of the, you know, pretty much every player ranked, of course. But you break it into the top 200 skaters and then the top 20 goaltenders. So let's start there with goaltenders because very few scouts have the goaltending background like yourself. You guys got Samsonov number one. You have Daniel Vladar number two. Not a lot of people talking about him. What do you guys like about him so much?
Well, you know, I have not seen him play myself, but our scouts really, really like him in the Czech Republic.
Okay.
He, according to our people there, he might be a steal of the draft as goaltender. You know, they think that he could be a number one guy. You know, doesn't have a lot of exposure, but, you know, a lot of our guys feel that he could be a steal, you know, given a couple of years of development.
You look at the size of goaltenders now, Phil, and, you know, we see Ben Bishop, 6'5", there's 76'6". Like, when I look at the scouting report, I'm looking through the top 20 goaltenders, and I think only Vailanen and McNiven are the only guys who aren't at least 6'2 or higher. How much does the height factor come in play now for goaltenders?
Well, you know, a lot of the draft is cyclical, and we're in a size cycle right now for goaltenders. There's no question about it. Size matters, and I can recall a save that that he made again in the last game against Chicago. Just hit the tip of his blade, and you know, if he didn't have those long legs, he wouldn't have made that save. So obviously size matters. The scouts, some teams don't even look at a goalie if he's under 6 feet. So, but you know, I still look at goalies with an objective mind. If there are goalies that are 6 feet or 5'11", who can play and have the potential of being good goalies, but right now we're looking at the pattern of the big goalies, and they have been successful, and it's been proven. And with the size of the equipment now, it makes them so much bigger, and there's very little net to look at.
Would you like to see the equipment shrunk down from a you know, a former goalie and from a scouting perspective? Would it be better for everybody involved? Like, because obviously to a point where it's not making it unsafe, but to me, I don't understand why pads need to be that wide when no human goaltender's calves are that wide.
Well, you know, the league is looking at all kinds of things. They're looking at face-off tricks and all kinds of things, and trying to make the nets bigger and all that stuff. But I think that they need to concentrate a little bit more on the goalie equipment, particularly the catching glove. You know, if you look at it, it's humongous. There's no way that it needs to be that big. There's a protruding, they call it the cheater, that's about 3 inches beyond the wrist that probably should go. That's the first thing. Now, as far as the upper body, you know, you don't want to take anything away from protection because, you know, the shots are coming hard. There's a lot of one-timer shots and so much traffic in front of the net nowadays that they need the protection. But I think they got to think of a way to round off some of the equipment. You know, they allow, I believe, is 8 inches, but it's 8 inches in length. But if they were to round off this, like on the arms, for example, I think it would help in getting more goals and wouldn't take anything away from the goalies.
Phil, I love it, man. I'm totally in agreement with you. The glove hand is ridiculous. Let's get to some of the players to discuss. Of course, you guys, like everyone else, have McDavid and Eichel. One and two. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't have them there. The real debate comes in, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6. You guys have Dylan Strome, then you have Lawson Crouse 4, Hanifin 5, and Mitch Marner 6. Let's start with Lawson Crouse. Big body, huge kid, very strong. Hasn't put up numbers, Phil. And I know that those who don't have him in the top 5 or 10 suggest that that's the concern for them, is that he won't be an elite offensive guy. What's your thoughts on Crouse and why you guys have him at number 4?
Well, you know, he's your typical power forward. He's got real good smarts. He uses his size and range very well. He goes to the net. He competes. He's the kind of player that, you know, many teams and most teams are looking for. You know, we think he's got some pretty good offensive skills, you know, that when he plays on the top two lines in the NHL, he's going to be a 25 goal scorer. He has that potential anyways. And, you know, we feel confident that he's, you know, when you look at those top five guys, some of it is going to go in based on needs as well. You know, a player like Hanifin, if, you know, the third or fourth team wants a defenseman, he could easily be a third pick. But we like Crouse, you know, as the second forward.
And does the lack of offense, though, concern you?
No, we think he's got some offensive skill. He's got good hockey sense. He's got good hands. He's got a good shot. And it's only going to get better.
Okay. Around the other one in Edmonton, of course, currently the Oilers have the number 16 pick. And amongst skaters, anyway, you guys in between, you've got Kyle Connor, Timo Meier, Colin White, Thomas Chabot, the defenseman out of the Quebec Major Junior League. Colin White's name has come up in a variety of different places. What are his strengths, first of all, and then what are the weaknesses in his game at this point?
Yeah, Colin White, I've seen play quite a bit because I live in Michigan in the Detroit area, and he played with the national program here in Ann Arbor, and I've seen him quite a bit. He's a very smart player. He's a 200-foot player, very smart, both offensively and defensively. He is going to play. He's not the biggest player in the world, but he's got good speed, got good skills and playmaking ability. But what makes him very strong in the first round is the fact that he can play the 200-foot game.
When you guys are compiling your draft together, and we should remind everyone that this isn't you know, who you think matches to a certain team. It's just you rank them in who comes in. The categories, when all the scouts come together, Phil, what's the point system? I'm always curious about that. Like, how do you guys break down the system to separate what makes a guy 3 or number 4? Like, what are the categories that they get a mark in?
Well, technically, you know, we have almost 50 scouts all over North America and Europe who put in reports. on players for the draft. It all comes in. There are some ratings, skill ratings. There's some overall ratings and projection ratings and all that. And it all goes into a RinkNet system. And RinkNet produces a list for us based on all of those ratings. And, you know, once that's generated, our senior staff get together, you know, mostly on conference calls, and we, you know, we spend hours going through it. And then, you know, whoever knows the player better, if he feels that he should be higher or lower than the computer-generated list, then we, you know, discuss back and forth. And, you know, that's how it's done. And, you know, basically that's how it's done on most NHL teams. You know, you make a list and then you change it, adapt it to your feel, to your gut feeling, to your knowledge of the player, to some intangibles that might exist and stuff like that that don't necessarily appear in the computer. And, you know, a lot of times you put them into a crowd. You might put them in players into a crowd of a block, you might say, of maybe five or six or seven players.
Okay.
That fit in that block, and then you fool around with that, you know, because if you, you know, if you look at 200 players, it makes it a lot tougher, a lot more difficult to rank players. But if you, once you have him in certain block, you think he's going to go, for example, a player probably going to be in the between 10 and 15, and you take those five or six guys and you play with them, and then, you know, it's so on down the road. And there's a lot of time that we put into it. And you know, in our case, we don't have needs, you know. So we just try to pick the best players.
Phil Mir joins us, the head scout for ISS. Phil, looking at, you mentioned how the computer generates the list and then you guys had some changes. Was there one player that guys felt was the computer, for whatever reason, had ranked lower that you guys moved up manually?
Yeah, Kraus was one of them that we moved up because of, you know, so because of the intangibles that he brings and you know, our knowledge of the player. You know, Zaka is a very intriguing player. We have him at 10. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about this player because he has the skills of a top five player.
Okay.
You know, he just hasn't been consistent, and he's had some injuries. And so, you know, we have him at 10. He could go earlier. He could be later. You know, there's a lot of intangibles there that we seem to have discussed him more than any other player. You know, outside of that, that Meyer has gone up quite a bit in the last 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
Particularly after the World Junior, where he played very well, and we like him a lot. He's a player similar to Kraus, but probably with some more offense to him.
I noticed one player you guys don't have in the first round, Brock Boeser out of Waterloo, currently sitting at number at 35. And everybody's going to have different rankings. He seems to be the one that, when I look at all the other different scouting platforms that we have on, he's really bounced around. Was he one that even within your own scouting community, guys had him ranked significantly in different areas?
Yeah, that's a really good comment because he's come a long way too. We had him much lower earlier in the year, and he's gone up quite a bit. You know, he's a big guy who can play, you know, both ends of the rink. He can score goals. He can play physical, and he's done very well. And he's you know, he's committed to North Dakota, and you know, with some with a little bit of development there, he could become a really good player, possibly a top two line player. And we did discuss him at length, and we brought him up to 35. There was some thought of putting him in the first round, but, you know, we looked at Jordan Greenway with the USA team. We like him. We think he's got a chance of going in the first round as well. Big, strong, smart, physical player who can be a power forward as well. And, you know, we decided to make him somewhere around, you know, late first, early second. We have him at 31 now, which would be the first pick in the second round.
Phil, I really appreciate the rundown. Very insightful. I always like your guys one every year. Goes really in-depth in all the different players. I really appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you at the draft.
Well, thanks for calling. Anytime. My pleasure.